I love my church. Okay, thank you. We are in the second week of our sermon theme that we're in, talking about I love my church. And I hope when you say that you mean it with all of your hearts, because I do. Amen? I love my church. I love my church. I love our people. And I love the Lord of the church. This morning, I want to say, I failed to mention right before the prayer time. I want to tell you something else that's happening at Neighbors Grove before we get into this message that I'm really excited about. We talked about, and of course, you see these T-shirts around here, Grove Kids. Isn't that great? Oh, that's great. I love it. God is has blessed this church with a great group of children. If you watch each Sunday in both services, it's almost like a whole little congregation goes out when they go out to children's worship. And that's wonderful. I'm thankful for the work that Bethany and Carla are doing with our kids' ministry. And it's just a real blessing. But I want to tell you something else happening in Neighbors Grove you may not be aware of, because you probably don't see it a whole lot. But we have a growing and thriving youth ministry at Neighbors Grove. And I'm personally real excited about that. We are up to about 20 youth on Wednesday nights now in our youth meetings. And I'm just really excited. There's a lot of excitement. I preach to them on Wednesday nights. And then we have some fun together and we have a good time together. And I'm real excited about what God is doing through our youth ministry, in spite of the fact that I'm leading it for a while. And I want you to really pray for our youth. We have a great group of youth. We have two high school students in the whole group, and all the rest are middle schoolers. And so we have a real foundation for youth ministry here at Neighbors Grove, and I just wanted to let you know about that, because you probably hardly ever see them together as a group. And so we're real excited about that. We're getting ready to go next Sunday afternoon and have a good time at Kersey Valley Corn Maze. Hopefully we won't lose too many of them in the maze. And then we're going to have a bonfire and just have a great time together. And so I meant to mention that earlier and just wanted to make you aware of that. But praise God, we have a thriving youth ministry going here at Neighbors Grove. And so I want to encourage you to invite your friends, okay? I want you to make it a goal between now and next Sunday, make it a goal to bring at least one person with you to church next Sunday, all right? That's a good goal, right? And so let's do that. And I want as many people to experience what God is doing as possibly can. You should have said amen right there, okay? I want to as many people as possible to experience what God is doing. Amen. And God's doing some great things. I'm just really excited about what He's done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. Okay, we're talking about, guess what we're talking about this morning? Some of you, I think a few of you maybe were in the first service. What are we talking about this morning? Fences. Okay, we're talking about fences. I stuck these things up this morning. I knew everybody was wondering, what in the world? A preacher's lost his mind. What is he doing? Yeah, these are not permanent decorations, by the way, just to set your mind at ease. But we're going to talk a little bit about fences. But in the context of I love my church, and you'll notice at the bottom of the screen here, it talks about building a stronger church through four different areas here, through community, service, giving, and sharing. And today is about community. We're going to talk about community, because if you can describe the church in any kind of term or any kind of word, a lot of people speak of the church like an organization, but I think the church is much more than an organization. I've always said I think the church is more like an organism rather than an organization. But we're going to talk about the church in the context of community, because that's really what we are to be as a body of believers. We are to operate, we are to live, we are to work like a community. And that's so important for the church today. And I'm sad to say that I'm afraid there's far too many churches in the world today that miss that. And because of that, the church is struggling. But when the church understands that we are to live and to do life together as community, it makes all the difference in the world. And so that's very important for us. So that's what we're going to talk about for a little while this morning. But we're going to start out, we're going to talk about, before we get into the scripture, we're going to talk a minute of just a few minutes about fences. Now, the thing about fences is you'll see here on your screen, fences come in all shapes and sizes. Some are tall, some are short. You know, they come in different colors. Some are decorative. Some look like fortresses. And fences are basically designed for two reasons. To either keep something in or to keep something out. Amen? That's primarily... I guess some people put them up just for the decoration, just because they look good, they look nice, and that kind of thing. But in reality, a fence serves a couple of purposes. It's to keep something in or to keep something out. Now, when I was growing up, I shared in the first service, when I was growing up, there didn't any of the yards in our neighborhood have fences. And I think that's kind of indicative of the time that we lived in then, because the neighborhoods lived in community. And so there were no fences. I mean, it was like my next door neighbor, he used to kind of fuss every once in a while, even though he didn't really mean it in a harmful way. But he set out this whole row of pine trees along his yard, and about the middle three trees stayed dwarfed. They never grew above this high. You know why? Because the neighborhood kids would always run from yard to yard, and they'd jump over those trees. And so they never grew to their full height. He would tell you this day. But there were no fences. And I grew up in a community that had no fences. Everybody's yard was everybody's yard. And we just played all over the neighborhood, and nobody cared. But the thing about fences is, you know, when you think about it, and you put it in the context of our yards, and we're going to kind of compare our lives to our yards, okay? And some of you think, oh, bloody, am I in a mess? That's the way I am most of the time in my yard. But you think about it. Usually, if you have a fence, you have your fence in the what? In the backyard. Most of us have fenced in, a lot of us have fenced in backyards. I never had a fence in my yard that I recall until we moved into the house where we live now. And it has a fenced in backyard. But the thing about our yards is that usually our front yards look a lot better than our backyards. Amen? Typically the grass is nicely mowed, the leaves are kept up, the limbs are picked up, the shrubs are trimmed. You know, all of that stuff, everything looks nice in the front yard. But then when you get around behind the fence, and some of you are chuckling, you know exactly where I'm going. You get behind the fence and you get to the backyard. Ah, it's different, isn't it? Yeah. You know, for us, there's all kinds of, there's a swing set, and there's dog toys, and you know, there's the grass isn't kept up as nicely, the shrubs are a little wild, there's holes in the yard where the dog dug it up, and you know, in our yard, there's a backyard, I hate to say it, but there's an old red shed that looks like it's about to fall down. Some days I think it'd be a blessing if it did. There are things covered with tarps. You know, there's all this stuff in the backyard. It's where we play. It's where we live. It's where we have a table back there where we sometimes eat. It's where the grandchildren play. It's where the dog runs. And if you step in the right place, you'll figure that out. But all of that is in the backyard. But we keep the front yard neat and trimmed and the sidewalk swept and the limbs picked up and all that stuff. But behind the fence in the backyard is where we really live. It's where we live out life. It's where we live. It's where we play. It's where we store our junk. We're continuing this series, I Love My Church, today, and this concept is going to play a big part in where we're going to go in the next few minutes. And as we think about God's plan for the church, and the whole story here is, and the underlying theme is that we all live connected lives. And God wants us to live not only connected with Him, but He wants us to live connected with one another. And that's what's so important, I believe, in the church. And that's what I believe makes a real difference in a church that's really creating community for the cause of Christ and making a difference in the world, is because we have learned not only to live our lives connected with Him, but we've also learned at the same time, because of our connection with Him, we've learned to live our lives connected with one another. And that means we don't have any fences. We don't have any fences. Some of you are thinking, okay, just explain that to me. What does fence have to do with it? Well, I want us to read some scripture that I think kind of illustrates this for us. And I think this is such an important message for us today. Read with me Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Now, but before we unpack this a little further, let's go back to our fence. Let's picture, if you will, for just a few moments, let's picture our lives as a yard, okay? And if a lot of us, if we were to be real honest, we'd admit that we really do like a good fence. What we are comfortable with showing people and letting people know about us typically is our front yard. And we try to keep a very nice looking front yard, nicely manicured, nice grass, a nice welcome mat at the door. The front yard is what we don't mind people seeing. It's what we don't mind showing off sometimes to people. But the backyard, that's a little different story. That's the real us. And getting there a lot of times is by invitation only. In fact, I'm going to build a fence because I'm not sure what I want you to know. I'm not sure I always want you to see the real me. I don't want you to see the parts of my life that aren't so pristine and nice and neat. I don't want you to step in the dog piles. I'm not sure if it's a good place to invite you back there to sit down and have a meal, because the backyard is private. The backyard is me. The backyard is about who I really am. Everything in the front of the house is well presented. But the back of the house, behind the fence, is where the true us resides. Now here's the deal about fences. Are you ready? God isn't a big fan. God isn't a big fan. I told the crowd in the first service this morning, I said, now I don't want you to take this literal. I don't want you to go home and you wives tell your husbands, you know what, Pastor said, you got to go out there and tear that fence down. That's not what I'm telling you. We're not talking about literal fences here this morning. So don't leave here today and go home and tear your fence down. But as far But as far as being in relationship with Him and being in community with each other, God really wants us to rethink our fences. So if we intend to love our church the way that God wants us to, then there are some things that we have to do and some things we need to understand when it comes to the fences in our lives. Number one, it is this. You ready? Know that Jesus crashed the fence. In essence, that's what it tells us in this passage that we just read in Hebrews, that Jesus crashed his fences. And before we even talk about the fence that we sometimes put between ourselves and other people, we have to realize that there was a fence that existed between us and God. The first part of that passage that we read, it told us that it says, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. What this is telling us, that we came into this world and basically there was a fence. There was a barrier between us and God. Namely, the fence of sin. And it kept us separated from a relationship with God. But what Hebrews tells us is that when Jesus came into this world and He died on the cross and He shed His life's blood to redeem us from our sin, what He did in effect was He tore down the fence that separated us from a relationship with God. So He is great at crashing the fence. He crashed that big fence that kept us away from God. And the Word says that because of the blood of Christ, we now have full access to God and can have relationship and live in community with Him. I say praise the Lord. And the author and the writer here, he's talking about the fact that because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to God with no barriers. You see, back in the day in those times before Christ, there was only one person that could enter into the Holy of Holies, and that was the priest. The people couldn't just walk in there and just walk in behind that veil, behind that curtain, into the Holy of Holies. There were some dire consequences if that happened. But because of Christ, and we understand that when Christ died on the cross, that the veil was torn in two and was done away with, and because of Christ, the fence is torn down, and we now have full access to God the Father. And we can live and breathe and exist in community with Him because of what Jesus Christ has done, because He crashed that fence. Because He now is our great high priest and He has crashed the fence, the separation that existed between us and God, and we can confidently draw near to God because of that. The reality is we're born building fences. We're born building walls and building structures designed to hide and protect or confine who we really are, that keep us separated from God. We are born into sin. And I know that's not politically correct today, but I want to tell you, I'm not politically correct. But we are born into sin. And people that will tell you that, you know, man is just basically good, well, then you prove it. But we are born into this world and we are separated from God. And we build these walls and these structures that keep us separated from God. And it's only when we admit to the fact that we need someone to remove the barrier, we need to crash the fence of sin. And only because of that can we have a relationship with God and be in true community with Him. I'd ask you this morning, have you ever drawn near to God? Have you ever torn down the fence that exists between you and God and let Him in? and let Him in the front, but also in the back. That's what He wants more than anything else for us today. Realize that the barrier that exists between you and Jesus has been crashed, has been crushed on the cross of Christ. And surrender your life to Him. Draw near to Him in a relationship and walk with Him in community. But there's a second thing that we notice too, is that you need to allow others into the yard. Remember, we're comparing our life to a yard. And it tells us that we need to allow others into the yard. We come to this building and we sing songs, we play games with children, we do children's lessons, and we do all the things that we do. We sing and we just do all kinds of things around the church. Sometimes we have meals together and we say good morning to each other and we do all these things. But the sad part about it is too many times it happens from behind a fence. You might be thinking, well, you know, I thought you just said that Jesus broke down the fence. He did. For every single one of us, Jesus has broken down the fence and made a way possible for us to get to God. How does that impact us as a people? How does that impact us as a community? You know, imagine for a moment all of mankind, all of humanity, standing before a fence of sin, and it just comes tumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. So when I draw near to God to become His follower, there's not a fence anymore. And when you draw near to God to become His follower, there's no longer that barrier, which means there's no fence in existence in the community of God. There shouldn't be. But what we do is we start taking wood, and if we're not careful in the church, and we'll start rebuilding fences between ourselves and others. And even though God destroyed the fence between Him and us, sometimes we are guilty of still attempting to rebuild fences between ourselves and other people. And if we aren't careful, we fall back into the trap of only wanting people to see only the pretty parts of our yard. We don't want them to see our dirty laundry hanging on the line or all those other things that happen in the backyard. But don't forget last week, if we're going to truly experience love in our church, that means intentionally loving our church. That is not loving our building. It's not loving our programs. If we intentionally love our church, that means that we love each other. And loving each other is impossible to do from behind a fence. So what do? With the fences all of us have erected, myself included, it's hard to truly know how to love each other from behind a fence. But the Apostle Paul gives us a prescription. He tells us in this word, he basically tells us, do not forsake assembling together. Do not forsake assembling together. Now, I know that you've been in church, most of you, maybe many of you have been in church all your lives, and about the only time you really ever heard a preacher talk about that verse, it's to guilt you into coming to church every Sunday. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But there's a whole lot more here. He's saying a whole lot more. He's talking about doing life together. And you know, I think that's so important and it's so vital to understand in the community of believers is that we just don't come together on Sunday for an hour or two, or we don't come just to sit through a Sunday school class and then we go home and we're done till next week. No. Doing community of life together in the church means doing life together as a community of believers. That means when one of us is struggling, we all help them through the struggle. It means when one is hurting, we're all trying to help touch the hurt. When one is in need, and down and out, we all pitch in to try to help alleviate the burden. That's what it means to tear down the fences and to truly live in community together, not only with God, but with one another. That's how we really, really love the church. Community means that we don't build fences. Now, you may or not, some of you, probably most of you, are familiar with this next image you're going to see. If we can throw that up there. Everybody recognize these guys? This is kind of illustrates for us the concept of living behind a fence. Now, I don't know about you, but I watched, I don't know how many episodes of this show, probably how many, most of you have, I'm sure. Yeah, Tim the Tool Man, you know, next door neighbor Wilson. That's how we always saw Wilson. From about here up. And isn't it true that sometimes that's how we go through life? We're peering over our fences. We don't really invite anybody into the yard. We don't want anybody to get into the yard. And we peer over our fences at the rest of the world. Separated. Not in real community. Although they did have a unique relationship. But isn't it true, church? And let's pray that it's never that way for us. But how many times do we sit in the pews with people? How many times do we maybe even serve on a committee together with people? We might even enjoy a Bible study together with people, but we go away and all we get is just a glimpse over the fence of what life is really like. Maybe there's someone standing on the other side of the fence. Maybe we see a little bit of their face, maybe we don't. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's still a fence between. I believe that it's important for us in the church today to fully get into the yard with the people that we go to church with the people that we do life together with. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging. See, there's a reason. There's a reason that we crash the fence. It says that we encourage one another. Let me ask you this morning, whose yard you been in lately? Whose yard have you been in? Now, I'm not talking about a literal yard. But whose yard have you been in lately? Who are you allowing into your yard? Maybe that takes place through your Sunday school class, or maybe through Bible study opportunities, or maybe it's some of the service projects. Maybe you're part of a men's group or a women's group or student ministry, or possibly you've just allowed a few people to see past your fences. But if we're truly going to experience what the church is supposed to be, we're going to have to do life as God intended it and tear down some fences. If we're going to truly impact the world and we're really going to change and transform lives, we're going to have to smash some fences. And we're going to have to allow people into our yards because we were not intended to live in isolation. Community is standing in somebody's yard. It means that you take the opportunity to stand in somebody else's yard. You know what? There are people all around us who are going through some dire times, and more than anything else, is that they need somebody to invade their yard, somebody to crash the fence. There's another step in this also, is that I think is vitally important for us at the church, and something I quite personally think we do pretty well here at Neighbors Grove, and I'm thankful for that. And that's as we crash these fences, as we allow people into our yards, we enjoy the company. We enjoy the company. I described this earlier this morning like this. Imagine, if you will, just turn the clock back a little bit for most of us and go back to being a kid. And you just imagine for a minute that you're going to a birthday party where the host didn't plan anything. And you show up and you know, there's just a bag of plain potato chips on the table and some watered down Kool-Aid, and that's it. No games, no balloons, no desserts, no face paint, no pin to tail on the donkey. You know, none of that stuff. How many would agree that's would be a pretty dull and boring party? Yeah, all the youth over here, they know. Pretty dull. I mean, you'd probably leave that place thinking, you know what? That wasn't even worth the effort. They didn't even try. Hebrews says, let us consider how, I like this translation, let us consider how to stimulate one another in love, to love and good deeds. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. To consider, it means to contemplate, to strategize. Think of it as planning for a successful birthday party. In other words, living life in one another's yard without fences. And it means that we got to be intentional about it and strategic about it. Community is finding ways to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And beyond church programming, beyond all the sermons and all the other stuff, it's seeing beyond the walls, it's seeing beyond the fences that have been built and offering to help. It's bringing a meal in the time of a crisis. It's giving somebody who's down and out and struggling. It may mean the world to them if you just walked up and embraced them and told them that you love them and show them that you care about them. It's having a number to call when the car don't start or the tire's flat. It's teaming up when we have service projects and working alongside each other. It's enjoying one another and helping each other enjoy serving Jesus together in the time that we have to serve together. And the thing is, these things don't happen automatically. They happen when we consider how to make them happen. And so one of the things that we need to do as a church, and this is for all of us, is we got to take ownership. We need to understand that this is everyone's job, not everybody else's job. Amen? It's everyone's job, not everybody else's job. We all need to work at it. And I say to us this morning, church, if you're sitting where you're sitting and you're waiting on everyone to come to you, then you're sitting in the wrong place. Put some effort into connecting with others. And as we leave this morning, I want to encourage you, love your church. Take some time to crash the fence. Allow somebody in. Enjoy the company. Start considering how you can be connected with others for encouragement and growth. And as we leave today, I'm going to challenge you with a little challenge before we leave this morning. This is what I want you to do. A little smaller group in here right now than we had first service. This is what I want you to do. Before you leave this place, before you walk out the door, I want you to take the time to personally speak to at least 3 to 5 people that maybe you normally don't get to speak to. Doesn't matter if you know them personally or not, get to know them. Because that's how we live and we work and we minister as community. Amen? And I want you to understand that this is such an important concept because we're all in this together. Amen? We're all in this together. And I believe with all of my heart that God intended for us to work and live together in community. So when we close here in a minute, the worship team's going to come, I think, and lead in another song before we leave. But when we are dismissed, I want you to take the time to speak to at least 3 to 5 people that you normally don't get to speak to. Crash some fences this week, okay? Crash some fences. Get in somebody's yard and let them know how much you love the church and how much you love the Lord of the church. Amen.